This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've mentioned this earlier about the Forgotten Five talking about the National Toy Hall of Fame. I've been a fan of the Toy Hall of Fame over the years. I've spoken with a number of those people who are connected to the Toy Hall of Fame, because, after all, who doesn't like playing with stuff? So chatting this at this hour with Shane Reinwald, who's the Senior Director of Public Relations for the Strong National Museum of Play, to talk about the Forgotten Five. Hey, thanks for making yourself available on this Saturday, Shane. I do appreciate it. How are you this fine day?
Yeah, doing well. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to talk toys.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't you want to, right? Now, I call it the Strong National Museum of Play. How does this differ, or is it just considered the Toy Hall of Fame?
Yeah, so the National Toy Hall of Fame, it's a program at the Strong National Museum of Play. So the museum is huge, 375,000 square feet, and we have the world's largest collection of play-related objects, so toys, dolls, board games. So we have a few programs within the museum, and the Toy Hall for us really is an opportunity to have these bigger, broader conversations about these toys, what they mean to all of us, to share those memories, and to get people really talking about the toys and the sort of impact and influence that they've had, because, you know, toys aren't just play. They really do reflect our culture and our times.
Oh, absolutely, and the way the times have changed. Where's the Toy Hall of Fame or the Strong Museum located?
Yeah, so we're up in Rochester, New York. So
perfect.
You know, quick hop from some of the major cities in the Northeast, maybe a little bit more of a hike from Minneapolis, but definitely worth the trip if anyone's heading out that way.
We'll get there, yes, because as I understand it, you can tell me if I'm mistaken here, but some of these toys are there today and in a hands-on situation to be able to try out, to see what the attraction has been over the years.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about the museum, is that we are a history museum at our core, so you can see all of these objects. You can see the very first prototype of Monopoly and some of these other big popular toy items, but we also have fully interactive exhibit. So it's one thing to look at an old board game or an old toy, but it's something else entirely to, as a family, be able to sort of talk about the history of it and then play a gigantic version of it.
All right, well, now we need to talk about the Forgotten Five. The way I understand
it, their time?
Yeah, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but these are toys that have been considered in the past but just didn't make the cut into the Toy Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, so traditionally we induct 3 toys in any given year, and there's a set process and then an advisory committee that works through all of that. But this year, it's the 25th anniversary of the Toy Hall of Fame, so there was a group sitting around that said, we need to acknowledge this. We need to do something fun to mark the 25th anniversary. And really the first idea that came up was, let's let the public, for the first time ever, have the final say. It's popular vote, and they get to put a toy in the Hall of Fame. And then, of course, the next question is, what's the pool that they're picking from? So we went back, we looked, who's been a finalist, many times, who's sort of been on that precipice. They've been on the cusp of making the Hall, but they get tossed back into the toy bin. You know, you can think of any other Hall of Fame, and there's those folks that everybody would cry out and say, I can't believe that they're snubbed every year. So these were all four-time or more finalists. I think a few of them were five-time finalists. So they are the ongoing snubs for the Hall of Fame, and one will no longer be snubbed.
Well, do you want to detail them for us? Can you, in your own fashion? I tried to outline them, but I would rather get it from you. My guest, Shane Reinwald, the Senior Director of Public Relations for the Strong Museum and the Toy Hall of Fame. Give us the rundown.
Yeah, so what I love about these Forgotten Five is that they're all totally different playthings. They're the entire scope of play. So there's physical play, imaginative play, doll and action figure play. So we'll start with the Fisher-Price Corn Popper, which is so ubiquitous. I think probably most households have one of those laying around somewhere, or even if it's up in the attic or in the garage. But there's a time in a kid's life when they're just starting to walk that Corn Popper has a magical moment with kids. And I think most parents probably think back fondly on the kid pushing it around, though I'm sure we were all a little bit annoyed at the time by that crazy popping sound that it induces, but it's something that's just popular. It's been around since the 50s, still making them today. Next up, we have My Little Pony, which was huge in the 1980s. That, I think, was its peak, its heyday. It was outselling Barbie at that time, and really was unique in the sort of doll world. But it's had a resurgence recently, and it's something that's really had longevity. Pez is an interesting one. So if we think of those little Pez candy dispensers, they sort of cross that line of a toy. They have these figures. You can play with them. But they're also a collectible. And that's what a lot of people in this day and age, they're big fans. They're big collectors. And collecting in itself is a playful hobby. And then Pogo Stick, which really hits that outdoor play. It was completely unique when it came out. And it was challenging. And I think that's what made it playful. I remember growing up, kids in the neighborhood had them, and I was never the best at it, but we always had contests, and we would time each other and see who could do it the longest. And some of the challenge and trying to beat your previous record, that's what really made it playful. And then last but not least is Transformers, which came out in the 1980s, and that was during the era where toys were often combining with cartoons. So if you think of He-Man and Masters of the Universe, that had a big cartoon that was huge in the 80s. G.I. Joe, which had come out much earlier, but that had a cartoon in the 80s. And Transformers really fall right in line with that. Completely unique toy, allowed kids to change and transform, hence the name, these action figures. But a big pop culture icon, too, because of the show in the 80s. And then I think it's beaten out all of those other toys we mentioned as far as continuing kind of pop culture.
Yeah.
Because of the movies. It's seems like every year there's a new movie. Like they lived on.
It lasts. It has some durability to it. Now, if people want to vote, because when does the voting close? In the next couple of days, right?
Yeah, so October 24th. So there's still a few days left to vote. So the museum's website, museumofplay.org, you can find a National Toy Hall of Fame tab there, and it'll take you right to the voting. And folks can vote once a day for their favorite.
Once a day. And I don't suppose you want to give any indication as to where the lead is coming from. I can share with you that I posted this on Facebook, on my Facebook page, and I will tell you this, the overwhelming favorite, and maybe it's because of the age, we either had them ourselves or our children certainly had them, that was the Popcorn Popper from Fisher-Price.
Oh, loved it. Yeah, I love to hear that. Yeah, I don't want to influence the vote based on, and I actually haven't looked at it today, but when I looked at it yesterday and the day before, there were a few toys that were flip-flopping back and forth. So it wasn't, nobody was running away with it at that moment, which isn't to say that there couldn't be a campaign or a group that gets behind it and that it starts to, but we, as of yesterday when I looked, we're really in that sort of every vote counts territory.
Okay, well, that's good to know. You know, somebody told me, and tell me if I have this corrected, there are all kinds of toys that have already made the cut over the years, 25 years now that we're coming up on, including, is this right, is a stick in the Toy Hall of Fame?
The stick is in. The stick went in 2008, which I only remember because that's when I started with the museum and at the Toy Hall of Fame. But yeah, we think super broadly about what a toy is. For us, it's not necessarily something that you buy on Amazon or has to be branded or has to be sort of made as a plaything. Everyday objects become playthings. If you think of, you know, how many kids run out in the backyard and grab a stick and it becomes a wand, it becomes a sword. They throw it in a creek bed and it, and they race it against other ones and it becomes a boat. And it's a vehicle for play. So in that sense, it was sort of a no-brainer.
I brought that up at dinner last night when I was out with friends, and they said the same thing about it. It could be a sword, it could be this, whatever. On a rainy day,
you could, imagination.
Rainy day, you could drop it alongside the curb and watch it float down the street to the sewer, whatever may be happening.
So. They got it. I love to hear that.
Yeah, good stuff. And again, Rochester, New York, for the Strong Museum, the National Toy Hall of Fame is within it. How many toys on? Well, I could probably do the math. What, you got some 75 toys so far in the hall?
Yeah, I think we might just be over 80 now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
do you have a personal favorite that's already in?
Just because I played with them so often, I have many fond memories of G.I. Joes and playing with those in the sand pit and burying them in the backyard. So that's one that definitely stands out for me.
If I throw a toy out, can you tell me whether it's in or not?
If I can recall all 80 plus off the top of my head,
do you remember,
I'm usually pretty good at it. But
do you remember color forms?
I do. And those I'm pretty sure aren't in, but I know that they've been nominated and potentially a finalist in the past. I know they've come up in conversation quite a bit.
All right. I was just curious because I remember having them and you would, you know, put the raincoat on the kid and hand them the umbrella, whatever it was in that particular case. So, Shane, thank you so much, especially on a Saturday afternoon, being available. And I hope you get a good turnout. And if people go to the just look online, you can find a chance and you can vote once a day now through the 24th. And the results will be published when?
So we're looking to announce November 10th. So we'll announce the three inductees chosen the traditional way and then the special fourth pop. Popular vote inductee.
Okay, good stuff.
The people will have
spoken. Shane, thank you so much for joining me here on WCCO today. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.